Kingdom Generation Conference this week in Houston, Texas. But he was flying back today, and if I know him anyway, he's probably watching right now, and he's critiquing me. No. No, he's a great senior pastor. Be praying for him. He'll be back next week to go. All right, if you have your Bibles, though, would you open them up to 1 Samuel chapter 16? And we're going to have to go, wait, that's going to have to go way back on there, because I'd like to start from the beginning of the message, if I could. All right, the message is entitled, The Person God Uses. The Person God Uses. A couple weeks ago, I had the privilege to minister, and I preached out of 1 Samuel 15, and it was entitled, Fatal Flaws. Fatal Flaws. And it was essentially a message that could have been titled, The Person God Refuses. When we don't have the right things in place and we have those blocks, then a God can use us. But today, we're going to call this the person God uses. And we're going to talk about God is looking for game changers. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He's looking for people to show up and make the difference in the game of life, in the game of ministry, in the game of things. I don't know about you, but I want to be a game changer. As I asked you already, I trust most of you want God to use you. You want to make a difference. You want someday to hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, I want to clarify, this is not a salvation issue today. We're not talking about whether or not you get into heaven, but we're talking about whether or not you're really going to make a difference in what he wants to do in your life, that you can be everything God called you to be. Because you understand, when you get to heaven, you could have made it, but realize you didn't really make a whole lot of difference before you got there. I want to make a big difference here, so it makes a big difference there. And so I invite you to pull in and press in with me on this. And we're going to look in this chapter at three major sections or three main parts of focus, starting with verse 1. And let's see if it works. It does. All right, look at it. Verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. Now, let's just remember, in the previous chapter, Samuel was walking through this very challenging time. He had anointed Saul. Saul had stepped in, and Saul had begun to compromise in his life. And before that chapter was over, Samuel had to say, God has rejected you as king, and this is the last time I'm going to see you. So we start this chapter, and the more that we look at it, with Samuel literally in the dumps, depressed over where the state of Israel was at this time. I imagine he was binging on Netflix. He was feeding himself all kinds of Krispy Kreme donuts. He was totally depressed. And he didn't know that he wanted to ever even serve again. And so God wakes him up and says, how long are you basically going to stay depressed over Saul? Because I have something for you to do. Seeing as I have rejected him, now he says, fill your horn and go. I want you to understand this. Our God that we serve is a God of action and mission. He says, fill your horn. Now, why would he fill your horn? And I want to clarify, this is not one of those trumpets you play. This is a horn that's going to be filled with oil because it's time to go anoint someone else. So God is a God of action. And then he says, and go to Bethlehem and begin to make a difference in the next person I've chosen. You see, we can continue to focus on what was, but God is all about what is and will be. Let me say that again. We can continue to focus on what was, but God is all about what is and will be. Now, am I saying it's not good to have good memories and things? No, but if you always live in the past, you're done living in the present. A church that measures itself more about the good old days is already done. A person that is more about what has happened might as well stop living. God is about what is right now and what will be. Now, I want to show this to you. I want you to follow with me. Well, actually, I just want to make this statement. In God, a person God uses, God can use a person who has released the past to him. God can use a person who has said, the past is over. The past may have been awful. The past may have been good. Doesn't matter. I've released it to the Lord. Now, go with me to this verse. You can turn there if you'd like, but this is a familiar passage. I want you to notice something here. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can we say amen to that? It says in a very categorical way, there is nothing that can separate us from God's love. Now, I believe that's the overall emphasis, but if you look very specifically, it's very interesting. Notice what Paul says at the end of verse 38. For I am persuaded that not things present nor things to come can separate us from God's love. What's missing from that verse right there? The past isn't mentioned. This is what I believe. We can separate ourselves from God's love if we stay in the past. Isn't that interesting? We can prevent God from using us because we won't let go of the past. God says, let it go because I will not separate my love from you, but you've got to let it go. Now, I have an interesting theory here. It's not in the scriptures. But remember Moses out in the desert? He meets up with God, and God calls him to go back to Egypt. What did Moses do? He made excuses, didn't he? He said, I don't talk so good. He used all kinds of things, and God was getting upset with him, saying, hey, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to speak through you. And finally, he says, let me just send your brother. He can talk at least. But I believe in the background, Moses couldn't let go of the past. He couldn't let go of what had happened in Egypt. He didn't want to ever go back. And God said, it's going to be different because I'm going with you. So we must go there. Now look at this passage. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Isn't that good news? Whatever you've done, it's gone in Jesus' name. So let me say it this way. God has forgiven your past. It's time to let it go as well. Now, that's not exactly the meaning of the song Frozen, but I think that's a good meaning for it, isn't it? Just let it go. Let's turn that around because we need to go to a place where the past is no longer pushing us from what God wants to do in our lives. Let's let it go. Setting a new focus. Now, join with me in verse 6. Samuel has shown up. And he says this, so it was when they came, meaning Samuel with now Jesse's family. Now remember, Jesse had 8 sons. He brought 7 of them right up there to the sacrifice. And it says, so it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. So he's looking at Eliab and he's saying, ooh, that's the right person. Go forward. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does, read this with me, for the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Right, the Lord looks at the heart. You see, Eliab looked the part. He looked like the next king. And he was the firstborn. In all logical sense, Samuel's saying, God, here he is. This is the one. But God said, no, I've refused him. Same word actually that was used to speak of Saul. I've essentially rejected him. And let's see what happened. Because he said that, I was trying to figure this out. And so I've been doing this 1 Samuel, my devotions. And if you go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28... we're in the middle of David and Goliath chapter, the very familiar chapter. David has come, and David very logically saying, what's going on? Why isn't somebody going to face Goliath? And Eliab specifically speaks. Now, Eliab's oldest brother heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. Now listen very carefully in here. Eliab is accusing David of pride and insolence. But in this moment, Eliab's heart is being revealed as full of envy and jealousy. We got a glimpse of God, of what God was seeing in Eliab. That's why in chapter 16, God said, I'm not choosing Eliab. He's full of this stuff inside of him. So the key issue is not what you look like. The key issue is the heart. The heart. Well, I brought a little object lesson for us today. Just in time for the end of the grilling out season and all that. I've got you here. It has to be Bush's baked beans, by the way. There you go. There you go. All right. We've got, is that from like a North Carolina thing or something? It's got to be. Yes. All right. My faithful one's right here. Okay. So we've got this. And so you're looking at this can and it looks pretty good, doesn't it? Some of you are going, oh, Pastor Brad, I'm getting hungry right now. So we've got this can. And then this represents Eliab. He's tall. He's good looking. Later on, we find out that they call up David. And David is described as the one they forgot. We left him out in the fields. But beyond that, we discovered that he also was good looking, if you notice. We tend to imply, oh, David was just kind of this ugly person that nobody liked. And, you know, he just was put. No, it says he was handsome. It says he was ruddy, but that might just simply mean he had brilliant red hair. But it said he was good looking. So he's also good looking. He's just not quite as tall as Eliab at the moment. So we both have these things. But imagine with me, if we opened up this first can here, and I promise I actually have not done this. I thought about it. And we discovered it was full of night crawlers. What would I have just opened? A can of worms! I knew you'd get it. I would have just opened a can of worms right here. And God says, I don't care what it looks like on the outside. You don't want what's inside. Unless some of you figured out that worms are a good thing to eat. So anyway, right there. Now, this side, we're trusting is still full of the right stuff. And because his heart was right. You see, the issue is the heart and where it goes. You see, God can use a person who has invited him to do the heart work. God can use a person who leaves their past. But God can also use someone who says, I'm going to deal with those heart things. Could I ask my encounter team, they're all ready to go here? We have an event we do, one in October for the men, one in November for the women, that deals with the heart in this church. This is an amazing ministry. And so if you all will stand for a moment, those that are ready with those applications, we want you to go. How many of you have already been to an encounter before? Okay, a lot of you have. Great. I'm that way, if you haven't raised your hand, we know we want to consider. How many of you think you know someone who needs to go to an encounter? Yeah. So if you're interested in an application right now, would you raise your hand? The application is free. Actually, going is a little bit more, but the application is free. And we would love to see these encounters filled. I don't think we even had an encounter last year, Chuck. So it's time to get back to our encounters. So keep your hands up till you get an application and specify whether you want blue or pink, by the way. Because if you're a lady, you may know a man that needs one. If you're a man, you may know a lady that needs one. But clarify, make sure you've got the encounter applications. We're going to keep pushing for that. But we want you to understand, we're in a church that's going to deal with a can of worms. Amen? Now, these may actually end up in our lunch today, so I'll let you know if there were any worms inside of that. So number one, we want to leave our past. Number two, we want to deal with our heart. Wow, this is great. I should have tried to sell something today. All these, I see these hands. All right. Chapter 16, verse 16. I'm going to quickly mention something here. I want to make a comment about music. Because it says in verse 14, but the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said to him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Verse 16. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well. Just a couple quick comments about music because it's so important. Number one, the right music makes all the difference, doesn't it? The right music. Have you ever really heard a harpist play? I just so happen to have one in my house. And she's such a blessing. She went back to school. We wanted to keep her harp, but she kind of took that with her as well. But the harp is an amazing thing, literally. I believe actually there's an anointing on harp playing, by the way. But beyond that, the right music makes all the difference. It can bring a breakthrough in your life. Number two, the spirit of the musician will affect your spirit. The spirit of the musician comes through the music. And that's very important to consider. In fact, choose your music wisely. I teach a class at Regent called Art and Culture. And what I'm trying to get these kids to understand is that art isn't merely the entertainment that you have. So you just pick this music because you like it. Well, are you listening and sensing what the spirit is coming across that music? It affects your spirit. So that's just a little addendum in here because I'm so passionate about music for you to consider and what that is. But now we're going to go to verse 18. And I'm calling this proposing God's person. Let's read. Then one of the servants answered and said, "Look, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him." Now, this is a rich verse. Notice all these things that are described about David. And what I want you to know is this. God can use a person who has developed plus factors. Would you read that with me? God can use a person who has developed plus factors. Let me give an example. If you are a boss and you're getting set to hire an employee, and I've suddenly become a boss in a bunch of different ways recently, and one of the things that you're looking for is that employee qualified. Do they have the proper training for that job? But you may have 5, 6, 7, 8, however many applications for that. What makes the difference on who you hire? The plus factors. Not just that they're qualified, but what's the things that put them over the level that says, I want to hire that person. That's the one for this job. And again, I wanted to clarify for you. We're not talking about salvation issues. We're talking about usability issues. Is this person somebody God's saying that I can use to the very fullest? Now, there are 6 of them we just looked at in this verse, so let's take them quickly apart. Plus factor number 1, it said, choose someone, or basically, I've seen someone who is skillful in playing. Skillful in playing. So the first plus factor in your life is skill. Now, I want you to understand something. The word skill here is the same word we have in other parts of the Hebrew Bible called yada, to know. And it doesn't mean simply to know up here. It means to know intimately. What he was saying is, David doesn't just sort of know how to play the harp. He is intimately familiar with it and can just play it without even thinking because it's so automatic in his fingers and in his heart and in his spirit. God has given you a skill. And there's a skill that he wants to see you develop to the place where you know it intimately like that. You just automatically flow in that place. In fact, I was reflecting on this. My daughter Sophia, I mentioned, was showing these interesting videos of experts. One was a cheese expert. One was a coffee expert. I don't know if you've ever seen those on YouTube. And what they do is they blindfold the person, and they give them 2 different kinds of cheese. Or they only want 2 different kinds of coffee. And they can, just simply by how well they know their subject matter, they can tell you exactly, almost to the T, what kind of cheese it was, which one's worth hundreds of dollars, and which one's like something you would have just bought, you know, like, I don't want to name a brand that's like 25 cents. And they knew it so well because they had developed that skill. See, God has given you a skill. It's time to develop it. Now, none of you say, oh, I don't have any skills. Because if you're made in God's image, you have skills. Now, if you're not sure what they are, you have people around you ready to speak into your life and say, you've got that skill. But if God has given you a skill to be a musician, for example, you need to practice. You need to develop. Yes, that's right, Richard. We need to grow in it. I just got a daughter back. She is extremely skilled on the violin, but she went to a camp where she was asked to practice at least 4 hours a day, 6 days a week. That's crazy, but that was good. And she's even better now. She's developed that skill. Some of you have skills as a counselor. Well, then develop and hone that. Some of you have skills to make a movie, but develop it. Some of you have skills to be a teacher. Develop and grow. Do you realize we can always be growing in our skill? The more we grow in our skill, the more God can use you at his will. I just made that up. Little rhyme there for you. But the point is, make yourself available by honing and growing in that plus factor. Number two, it says, not only a skillful player on the harp, or a skillful in playing, it says, number two, a mighty man of valor. A mighty man of valor. The Greek word, or rather, the Hebrew word for valor can also mean virtuous. It's not just talking about a mighty man in anything, but a mighty man in character. Plus factor number two is your character and what that is. Do you realize character does make a difference? We were just watching a movie last night, Courageous. Some of you might remember that. And this man was trying to determine if he was going to hire this person to be his foreman. He brings him in and he says, I'd like to hire you. I want you to be on my team. So next week, I'm going to get 17 crates in of this particular amount of supplies. I think it was thread or something. It was a thread company. And he said, when it comes in, I want you to write down on the inventory that there are 16 that arrived. Because the 17th one, I have another purpose for it. And I need you just to say there were 16. The guy's eyes are getting big and he's trying to figure this out. And the foreman said, and I need you to be on my team. I'll let you think about it. You come back next morning. When he came back next morning, he said, I really need this job, but I cannot be dishonest to you or to my God. He said, are you really sure about that answer? He said, yes, sir. He expected to be fired on the spot. The guy got up and shook his hand, said, that's the kind of person I need on my team, because you have the character that we need here. There were six people before you that all failed this test. How many of you have ever heard of Siri? I figured out what Siri means. The spirit investigates, reveals, and informs. Well, maybe Steve Jobs didn't come up with that, but anyway, I think it's there. I don't know if you've heard some of the controversy about Siri this summer. It said that, you know, when you say, hey, Siri, and you speak, it records your voice or your command or whatever. There are actually people that have gone back and have listened to the recordings of those Siri messages. And they said particularly the Siri, the watches, have revealed illegal transactions, all kinds of messy things. Now, it doesn't connect a name to it, but basically Siri is wherever you are. What would Siri reveal about you? Your character may be fine up here, but if we just went to Siri messages, would it be serious? I also but just made that one up. We'll pass on that one. The point is, God has called you to be like him. The more like him you are, the more he can use you the way he desires. Character is the second thing. Third, it says, a mighty man of valor. Third, a man of war. A man of war. And what we want to put here, the person God uses, the plus factor is they are going to engage in spiritual warfare. They're going to run to the battle, not away from it. You know, I was thinking about this. One of the things that was so significant about 9/11 was there were first responders that were running into the building. They didn't run from it. Something that has characterized our military around the world is they run to the battle. They don't run from it. Even more so as Christians in his army, we need to run to the battle and not flinch back from it. You see, God is calling us. He has empowered you to run to the battle. Now, I have a little clip from another movie that was very powerful, shown about 4 or 5 years ago, called War Room. This is the closing scene. And I want you to understand that anyone can be a spiritual warrior. Look at this example as we watch it. Thank you.
You've done it again, Lord. You've done it again. You are good and you are mighty and you are merciful. And you keep taking care of me when I don't deserve it. Praise you, Jesus. You are Lord. Give me another one, Lord. Guide me to who you want me to help. Raise up more that will call upon your name. Raise up those that love you and seek you and trust you. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up. Lord, we need a generation of believers who are not ashamed of the gospel. We need an army of believers, Lord, that hate to be lukewarm and will stand on your word above all else. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up. I pray for unity among those that love you. I pray that you open their eyes so that they can see your truth, Lord. I pray for your hand of protection and guidance. Raise up a generation, Lord, that will take light into this world, that will not compromise when under pressure, that will not cower, Lord, when others fall away. Raise them up, Lord, that they will proclaim that there is salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Raise up warriors, Lord, who will fight on their knees, who will worship you with their whole hearts, Lord. Lord, call us to battle that we may proclaim you King of kings and Lord of lords. I pray these things with all my heart. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up.
Can you say amen? Woo. That gets me every time. God has called you to have the plus factor of a warrior spirit. It doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter where you are, where you work. Did you see all the different places there? It gets me all the way through the father praying over the baby, the foreigner, you know, the foreign land, the military, the government, every place, the schools. We need to press in and believe. And God said, I can use a person who is a man or a woman of war. Number four, to follow this up, it says a man of war, but it says prudent in speech. Prudent in speech. Now, that's what's really interesting. You know what to say and what not to say. Now, this is a balance. You can be a warrior in the spirit, but don't be cutting people down with your mouth. We need to be those with the plus factor of restraint in what we say. Now, I was thinking about this. We have a water filter in our home. Now, there was a time when Chesapeake's water was really not that good. Some of you remember that? There was some time it had all kinds of different colors, and it wasn't good colors. It was a lot more like my night crawlers or something. And so we got a filter back then, and a filter's an amazing thing, isn't it? It just cleans up the water so that what comes out is something people actually want. We need God to make a reverse osmosis filter for our mouths so that we have only the things that bless come forth. And when we have that, then we can be a person that God uses rather than being a person that abuses. I just made that one up too. But we need to be in a place where God can use us because our mouths speak blessing at any time. When we planned on it and when we get surprised and we're really frustrated and irritated, the filter's there. You see, God is inviting you to use his filter in your life. That's plus factor number four. We're almost there. Number five. It says, and a handsome person. And a handsome person. Now, the term there really implies a level of attractiveness from the inside out. So I want you to know we all qualify. regardless of our attractive meter on the external scale. We all qualify. And so I'd like to suggest that God uses a person who has winsomeness. You might want to go look that one up, Google it for a little bit there. But it just fit. It means you're attractive from the inside out. Now, I want you to imagine with me, if you came today to church and you met somebody at the front door or at the door to the sanctuary, or if, Lord willing, someday we have parking attendants, or if you come in the middle of the week and you come to the front office, do you want to meet somebody like this? Now, porcupines are great, but they're just a bit prickly, aren't they? Have you ever tried to hug a porcupine? Ooh, I'm talking about people now. They leave part of them in you. And it's not always a good thing, is it? So God's calling us to be this. Now, it doesn't mean that you've got to be all milk toasty sweet. You just got to be pleasant. Men, you can be a warrior and you can still be pleasant. So a plus factor is winsomeness. God is looking for more koalas and a whole bunch less porcupines. If we're in that place, then this is the kind of church people want to be at. And don't look at any porcupines around you. I probably should have asked how many of you know a porcupine, but then that's dangerous. Because if you don't raise your hand, then we know. Anyway, moving on. You'll think about that later. All right, now the last one. A handsome person, and then this person said, and the Lord is with him. The Lord is with him. And I would suggest that he could declare the Lord is with him because he is with the Lord. Plus factor number 6, and probably one of the most important ones, is a sense of anointing. A sense of anointing over your life. In Acts 4:13, the Jewish leadership was looking and was trying to persecute and penalize the disciples. And they looked at Peter and John and they noted, number one, that they weren't educated. They didn't have all their degrees. But they noted, number two, that they had been with Jesus. They weren't even friendly to Jesus, but they could tell they had been with Jesus. And so I want to invite you, there should be a fragrance about us that smells like Jesus. Interesting illustration. It took me a while to fully realize this, but for many years, we hosted in this church a meeting of Chick-fil-A owners and operators and their teams. Now, how many of you like Chick-fil-A? Chick-fil-A has a certain fragrance to it. And what happens, people that live in Chick-fil-A, like owners and operators, they carry that fragrance with them wherever they go. And so they would have an all-day meeting in the equipping center, and I would go back in later, and I could still smell the peanut oil. I could still smell that Chick-fil-A had been on church. They carried it wherever they went. Now, I'm not saying you need to go work at Chick-fil-A. You can't even go there today, which is a good thing. But you need to smell like the Lord and leave a residue of his presence wherever you go. Anointing. You see, God invites you to smell like him. Now let me pull this all together. The person God uses, or may I put in parentheses, God's game changer, number one, has released past issues to the Lord, is not living in the past. Number two, has confronted heart issues, has opened up the can of worms and let God empty it and refill it with some good stuff. And number three, has developed plus factors in their lives. All these different things that we talked about, that's what God wants in your life. Would you bow your heads with me today? Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for this powerful passage that shows the kind of people you want on your team. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, and the team is coming back up, and we're going to worship a bit more in just a moment, I want to invite you to pause and to ask the Lord what he's telling you today. Let me just start this way, first of all. This was not a sermon about salvation. But if you don't know the Lord, you're not following him, you're not in any place for God to use you. The Bible says then none of us are good enough. But the Bible also says all of us can receive his grace. There's bad news, and then there's really good news. With heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anyone here today that would say, Pastor Brad, I've actually been kind of watching and observing Christians for a while. I've met some that I don't like. I've met some that I'm really drawn to. I've even been even potentially coming to this church for a while. But today, I can be really honest and say, I've never really purposely chosen to follow the Lord. I've never intentionally, specifically said, Lord, today you are my Lord. Is there anyone that would raise their hand and say, Pastor Brad, as you pray, would you pray for me? Because today I'm accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Would you raise your hand nice and high? God bless you, sir. There's several others. God bless you, ma'am. Anyone else? Nice and high. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Thank you. God bless you, ma'am, as well. All right. Now, I hope my ushers noted that because we have some booklets to give to you. But I'd like to pray for you right now. Father, I thank you for these individuals, several of them, that have said, today, I want to be on God's team. Today, I'm going to stop running my life on my own. I ask your blessing on each one of these. Lord, I thank you. You know their hearts. You know whether they truly mean it. And I pray, Father, by the Holy Spirit, you would draw them to yourself. And that, God, in the name of Jesus, you would bring your work in their lives. Father, touch them today. That today would be the first day of the rest of their lives that they're serving you, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Can we thank the Lord for what he just did? Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Would you all stand with me? I'd like to do this this way. I'd like to have about three altar ministers come up, one in the middle on the other side. And in a moment, we're going to invite everyone that feels called to come and pray to come forward. But if you just receive the Lord in a very specific way today, we have three altar ministers up here and we have ushers in the back. Find someone and agree with them in prayer that God is going to do a breakthrough in your life. But now, just pause for a moment. I want you all to bow your heads again. We're going to go back to that song that says, Lord, I just need and want to touch you and see you work in my life. And I'm going to invite you in a broad way. If you want to make yourself available for God to work in you in a new level, we're going to open up these altars for any and everyone. You can come, you can stand, you can kneel. But I believe for many of you, you need to actually say, Lord, I'm making a statement today. But I want to just remind you some of the things you could bring to the Lord today. Maybe there's some of you today that the past has been binding you. Maybe you've accepted the Lord, but you don't believe God would ever really use you because of such and such that happened. God says, I've been waiting for this moment when you would release that to me so that I can stop having you obsess on the past and start living in the present and you can do the future that I have for you. I invite you, if there are past issues that are in your life, that today you're ready to say, God, I release it to you. I'm not going back there anymore, to come forward and do that. Just a moment, in just a moment. Second of all, some of you know that if we were to open up that can of your heart, there's some worms in there. There's some heart issues. There's some mess. And you know it's keeping you from being in the place where God can use you to his fullest. And today, you've been trying to cover that up, but today you're saying, I'm willing, Lord, for you to open myself wide. You clean out my can, Lord. And you replace all that junk with you, oh God, so that might be available for you to use. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to come forward. And thirdly, there's some of you that know that God convicted you with one of those plus factors. Maybe you know you haven't been working and developing the skills God has given you. You've been hiding them and saying, I don't really have anything, or what's the use? There's plenty of other people more gifted than me. God says, I want to develop you. Or maybe you know there's character issues, or that you've run from the battle, but today you can say, Lord, I'm going to pursue it. Or maybe you know that what's come out of your mouth has been less than edifying. or that if you were to be honest, you're more a porcupine than a koala. And God wants to work. Or lastly, you just want him to overflow you with his anointing. May any one of those areas, I'm going to invite you to come. So now, Benson, if you could get us ready to worship together. If for any of those areas you need to meet up with God, altars are open. Please come right now. Let's come and seek the Lord. Let's come let him use us. Come forward right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Feel free to come to an altar minister. Feel free to just come by yourself with the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This is an opportunity to make a statement right now, saying, God, I'm giving my life, every part of it to you right now. Let it be so, Lord Jesus. There's still room for you. There's still room for you. Find a place. Yes, Jesus. Open up your hearts, whether you come forward or not. Let's allow God to work in our lives right now.